All right, we are on with Abby Broyles. She is the Democrat running for United States Senate against incumbent Jim Inhofe. Abby, I will tell you, I Googled today because I'll do this. Before I sit down to interview somebody, I'll just hit the news tab on my Google search and hit their name. And here's what I see. Abby Broyles campaign in Ada. Broyles stops in Muskogee. Abby Broyles takes in tour to Stillwater. I mean, Miami. You've been busy. You've been all over. I guess you're hitting the trail pretty hard right now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're less than 100 days away from the election, so we are trying to, you know, be out and about and seen in the community as much as possible and hear from voters, which of course is tough during a pandemic. So trying to keep our meetings small and, you know, wearing masks and doing things outside as much as possible. So, you know, a lot of those communities you just mentioned are places where they felt left behind. When I was in Muskogee yesterday, you know, they were talking about just, you know, how people are struggling right now. They're out of work. They've lost their health insurance tied to their employer. When I was down in Ada, same thing. I mean, a lot of folks are just feeling like our leaders aren't listening to them. You know, the Senate went home instead of passing the HEROES Act. And, you know, a lot of families are really depending on our leaders in Washington. And so I think it's my job to go around and talk with people, listen to them. And that's the kind of leadership that we need.
So when I look at the same result of a news tab search on Google of your opponent, I see Senator Inhofe talking about removing the base renaming provision from the defense bill. I see him canceling a hearing for a nominee for a Pentagon position. I'm sure you're familiar with that situation, who's rather Islamophobic, according to news reporting. Defense bill. I don't see him talking a lot about COVID-19. Have you seen that as well?
No, and I mean, Jim Inhofe has downplayed the pandemic from the beginning. You know, he was acting like it was a hoax several months ago. In January, when he was briefed on it, and he sure didn't tell us back here in Oklahoma, he sold off his stock. And then, you know, short time later was, you know, teasing a reporter about shaking hands when he was asked about taking precautions against the coronavirus. Then he brought the president to Tulsa. I mean, he hasn't taken this pandemic seriously at all. And when you look at the headlines that he's making, it's all for, you know, what his boss wants him to do. And the bottom line is he works for the people of Oklahoma, and he sure hasn't shown us that this year especially.
There was some reporting last week, I think it was, about apparently Senator Inhofe took a phone call from the president at a restaurant and had it on speaker, and somebody nearby recorded some of that conversation. It did not involve anything to do with the pandemic, but it did kind of call into question, I don't know, security concerns? I'm not sure how to characterize that incident.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely think there's a national security implication when he put the president on speakerphone in a public place. But, you know, here he was in a restaurant and, you know, talking about some of the things that you just mentioned with Tata. And, you know, on that, he escaped a difficult vote that would have had to go through the Senate. But, you know, I think that the conversation itself just shows everything that's wrong with Washington and why people are so sick and tired of career politicians. I mean, that conversation was all about Jim Inhofe looking out for himself and trying to, you know, do what the president wanted, look good for the president. There was no conversation about, you know, the people back home in Oklahoma who are out of work, who need that $600 a week. There was no conversation about the people who have lost their health insurance during the middle of the biggest public health crisis of our lifetime. I mean, this is where his head is. Everything that Jim Inhofe does is for himself.
So on the topic of that stimulus, the check is not in the mail. In fact, we don't know if there's going to be a check or how much that check will be or when that's going to happen, because right now that we seem to be having a log jam on Capitol Hill, shockingly. And they did I read that right? They just packed up and went home without deciding.
Yeah. The Senate went home. They are home for the August recess. And, you know, if you look at any other job in the country, if you just decided, I'm not going to finish that, I'm going to pack up and leave, you'd get fired. But this is what we've come to expect with Congress, and especially with our senior senator. He should be back here in Oklahoma in every community and listening to the small business owners who desperately need the Paycheck Protection Program to keep going. They need to talk to people who need that $600 a week to put food on the table for their family. But instead, he's not here. He's out in D.C. He is not working for everyday Oklahomans. And the Senate has to pass the HEROES Act. That's the bottom line.
So what I hear some business people and some Republican lawmakers arguing is that $600 a week is essentially better money than these people can make at their jobs, which I think that's a separate issue. We don't necessarily have to go into that. But they're saying, you know, this is a disincentive for people to work and get back involved in the economy. How do you answer that argument?
I completely disagree. I have stood in the unemployment lines in Oklahoma City and Tulsa, and I have talked to people out of work, and these are jobs that are just not coming back in the near future. I mean, businesses have had to completely restructure. The pandemic has been devastating for so many, especially of our small business owners, and a lot of these folks who are out of work, you know, they are standing in line for days because they can't get a pass to get in, which is how they're doing it in Tulsa. Or in Oklahoma City, you know, lining up at 3 o'clock in the morning, day after day, trying to get in the first 170 slots to get in the door. You know, I think there's something wrong with that. People do not want to take their check and stay home. They want to be able to work. And so many of these folks that I've talked to simply cannot find work right now. And so that $600 a week, I mean, come on, it's $600. It's going to put food on the table. It's helping pay the rent. These people are just trying to get by right now. Also, most of them going without health insurance because who can afford COBRA? So now you have these folks out of work with no health insurance in the middle of a public health crisis. And it just goes to show the complete lack of leadership in D.C. right now.
So we have competing plans, the HEROES plan and the HEALS plan. That would be HEALS with an A. The HEROES are, that's the Democratic approach. It's about a $3 trillion plan, and it includes stimulus money, basically the same as CARES, I think $1,200. No, actually it's more, $1,200 for dependents, maximum of three. So, I mean, it's a lot more money and there's different stuff in it, but how do you draw the distinction in people's minds when you're talking to them about the competing proposals of HEROES and HEALS?
Well, I'll first start with education because the past week and a half I've been doing an education listening tour and listening to folks, teachers and parents alike on Zoom town halls from across the state. And the HEALS Act forces schools to reopen regardless of safety. It's just a federal mandate. You must go back to school. I don't think there should be a federal mandate for that. The HEROES Act, in contrast, gives $58 billion for our public schools. This is money that can go towards PPE, things that we need to keep our teachers safe and also our kids safe, who so often go home to grandparents living at home. The HEROES Act has a lot more money for testing and tracing, which we need to be able to get a hold of this virus and know who has it and who needs to be quarantined. Also, the HEROES Act has, you know, the $600 unemployment benefit through January 31st, which I think is needed. I mean, I completely disagree with the notion that folks just want to take that check and stay home. There is no state and local funding in the HEALS Act. I think that is a poor decision. Our state and local governments are struggling. We heard from the governor this week that the budget is going to look cut. It's going to be cut drastically this next year because we got by on so much federal funding this year. That's what, you know, kept the government going. We need another round of stimulus checks. We need to make sure that our essential workers are getting, you know, paid what they should be for, you know, the important work that they're doing on the front lines right now. I think the HEROES Act takes care of people. The HEALS Act is just, you know, almost equivalent to, you know, packing up and going home early, which they've done.
So they've got until August 7th to actually pull the trigger on this deal. That's when the session, I believe, is they're due to take a month-long break. Now, while they could decide to stay in session, the House or the Senate or both, that deadline is just right around the corner. Any chance that something's actually going to get passed on time?
I'm just not optimistic. I mean, we've seen how out of touch Mitch McConnell has been through this, and Jim Inhofe, and you know, the Senate leadership. I just don't see them doing the right thing. I think, just like everything else, they've made this about partisan politics and games, and at the expense of Oklahomans who are struggling and just trying to make ends meet. So unfortunately, no, I'm not optimistic, but I think that that's why so many people are engaged in this election cycle, because they know our future depends on it.
So briefly, two things that I think are sort of key that people want to see some sort of progress in. First is, getting our schools going again. And we're seeing right now in from where I'm sitting, if I was on the fifth floor, I could look out and see districts that are going to be fully open, districts that are going to be fully distance learning for at least 9 weeks, and districts that are going to be a combination of the two. It is a patchwork. Your prediction for how that first few weeks of school goes?
You know, I think it's going to be tough. I'm in Tulsa right now. I was in Bixby this morning, and I saw in the news this morning that Owosso is going to virtual schooling for the first several weeks. And, you know, with all the schools doing something a little bit different, it's going to be tough, because I think that, you know, once these families leave their school district and they go out into restaurants and stores, they're going to be around other people who have maybe been inside the classroom while other families have been, you know, homeschooling their kids and doing the distance learning approach. And I just, you know, anticipate, if you look at the data and science, when you put a lot of people in a room together and you have kids especially taking off masks, it's going to be really difficult to keep everyone healthy. And while I certainly do not support, you know, every school district doing the same thing, because I think Oklahoma needs to take a district by district approach, I do hope that each district has a plan in place in case one of their students gets sick. And what do you do with that classroom? How long do you quarantine? Do you send the whole class home? And what I've heard from parents listening to them over the past week and a half is they want their kids to go back to school, but they are terrified about what happens if they have to shift gears again and we have to go back to distance learning. So I think that some of the schools that are starting with virtual learning is probably a safer approach. But I think that, you know, it's going to have to be a wait and see. And hopefully our districts are prepared and have the resources they need to adjust when they need to do that.
Unfortunately, the numbers are not good. Hospitalizations today back up. We're at the third highest total so far during this pandemic. We saw 1,000 new cases confirmed today. Mm-hmm. We're not testing. This country has not figured out a testing regimen. Testing results are delayed 7-10 days or more. Great Britain has a testing system where you can, my understanding is, have your results in about 90 minutes. That would seem to be better than a week or 10 days. Mm-hmm. Why isn't there a national program? Why isn't there a federal, guidance on getting this testing rolling? What's your opinion there?
I just think we have had a complete lack of leadership when it comes to this pandemic out of D.C. And we've been operating on the mentality of, if we don't test, then we don't have this many cases and it'll just go away. No, we have taken the complete wrong approach into taking on this virus and flattening the curve. And, you know, if you look at other countries and you see what they're doing and the fact that we're doing the opposite, maybe it's time for new leadership who will do the right thing and get us out of this mess. You know, we knew about this months and months ago, but we were not prepared. And this is the United States. I do not understand how on earth we were unprepared to tackle this virus. And now we're just trying to blame testing, you know, play the blame game instead of taking responsibility and keeping people safe.
All right. Well, I know you're busy, and I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me today. I'll give you the open mic, if you will. Anything else on your mind or anything that you wanted to chat about before we wrap it up?
I don't really have anything else other than we would still love to debate Senator Inhofe. We've still gotten no response since our request on July 1st for a virtual debate.
So, not a yes, not a no, just silence?
Complete silence. Yeah, we reached out. We sent a letter. It's been in the press, and we have not heard anything from the senator's office.
All right. Well, I have been trying to get in touch with him myself, and if I'm able to do that, I'll ask the question. I'm curious to know what he thinks.
All right. Sounds good.
But listen, again, Abby, thank you very much for your time. Stay safe out there on the campaign trail, and we will talk again soon, yes?
Okay. Sounds great. Thanks so much.
Great. Thank you. Thank Alex for me.
Okay, well, bye-bye.